You're not going to miss. You're not going to want to miss. I can't even speak today. You're not going to want to miss this episode of the AI show where we talk about what to do when your data changes. Your machine learning models are going to be out of date. We'll show you how to fix it in this next episode of the AI show. Make sure you tune in. Hello and welcome to this episode of the AI show. We're going to talk about something pretty serious about data and how it literally drifts. Tell us who you are and what you do, my friend.
My name is Cody Peterson. I'm a product manager in the Azure Machine Learning Service and the PM for Data Drift.
Okay, so when it comes to machine learning, obviously you need data because the data is like the lemons we squeeze the juice out of for machine learning. Can you talk about data sets briefly? And then let's get into, like, what do you do when your data changes?
Yeah, so as you said, data is really the big difference between machine learning development and regular code development. Data evolves over time and it changes. Data sets in the Azure Machine Learning Service allow you easy access to your data for training machine learning models, and the newly introduced data set monitoring capability, which allows you to monitor how that data changes over time and be quickly alerted to issues in production.
So let me see if I understand this right. So, because I know that a data set is basically like a pointer to some data.
Yep.
But as a pointer, right, things can change underneath. So you said there's this new data monitoring thing. Can you describe what that is and how it can help us when data drifts?
Yeah, so the first thing to talk about is, just like you said, new data arrives over time. And so we've built into the data sets this time series trait, which can account for that. Basically what you do is you set up a timestamp column, either from an actual column in the data or from how the data is partitioned. For instance, if I partition my data by year, month, day, our system knows that and it can monitor how that data is changing over time. What Drift does is it basically sets up a pipeline to look at that data over time and compare it to a baseline. This baseline is usually something like your model's training data set or an earlier slice of a data.
So here's a question. So if I have a data set that's a pointer, and I know that data set was used to train, right? The underlying data that the data set points to can still change, is that right? But when I train it, like, how do I know which subset of the data was used to train? And then how can I figure out, like, what's the difference between what was trained and now what's coming in the data set?
Yeah, so this is all tracked in the Azure Machine Learning Service. If you use a data set to train a model, that gets logged, and you can go back and see exactly what data you trained with and reproduce that model. Now, if you set up a new training or a new data set, which has this time series trait, and it's basically taking in the serving data or the data your model is seeing in production over time, that's what you want to monitor for and compare against the baseline data set, which could be the model's training data set.
So you mentioned two different styles, right? There's like what you trained it on and then the diff,
yep.
And then there's an even more fine-grained one, which is what you trained it on, but each one has like a timestamp, and then you can see drift a little bit more granular.
Yeah, so the actual product is very generic. You can use it on any time series data completely outside the context of machine learning, although we're really targeting in the Azure Machine Learning Service scenarios where you trained a model and you want to make sure that the data you're seeing in production fits well into that training data so that your model's performing as expected.
All right, so I feel like we've talked about it. Can we take a look?
Sure. So this is the results page for the data drift in the new Azure Machine Learning Studio. We only have four charts today, starting with a drift overview. This shows a 0 to 100% data drift percentage change over time.
Okay.
And this gives you an indication of how much your data is drifting over time. We can see on this chart that I've set a threshold of 60%. If that threshold gets breached, which seems to occur around April 21st, uh-huh, I would get an email alert, which looks something like this. So now I have an alert. I know that my data has drifted, and I can go and investigate why.
So if we go back, what is it actually, what is like the deltas that it's measuring? You see what I'm saying? Because I know you talked about the baseline and the target, right? But can you tell me, like what are, is this in miles? I mean, you see what I'm saying? What are we measuring?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So we actually use machine learning ourselves in the background. So you can think of this percentage as roughly the accuracy of the model that we build to tell the baseline data set apart from each slice of the target data set.
So you're actually running inference on the new data that's coming in and seeing how well it's doing. Is that right?
Somewhat. We're okay. Building a separate drift model which looks at the baseline and compares it to the inference data.
Oh, so it's even more clever than what I said. Like, it yes. uses, it's like sort
slightly.
Of... that's kind of okay what you said, Seth, but no, we're actually building a machine learning model that tracks the deltas over time.
Yep, and this is important because for the same reason that machine learning is important, you can do all these rule-based statistics and say things like, if my temperature goes out of the range of negative 100 to 100, then that's probably a incorrect temperature for what's outside. But that gets pretty cumbersome as you get more and more features and more complexities in the features. So we use a machine learning model to abstract that away and come out with a simple 0 to 100 number that tells you how much your data has drifted.
I see. And if your data has drifted over a certain percentile, mm-hmm. that's an indication that it may be time to retrain your model.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So what are the other charts that we have there?
Yeah, so the first thing you want to do after you know that your data has drifted is try to figure out why. So to the right here, we see the drift contribution by feature. This shows you exactly which features drifted the most. We can zoom in and go and see which ones caused drift. In this case, temperature is one of the largest, followed by W-band, country or region, and wind angle.
And what data is this? So I can try to get a little bit of a
yep.
context.
So this is some weather data from 2019 from the NOAA ISD open data set.
Okay.
I've filtered it down to only station names that contain the string Florida, just mm-hmm. to reduce the size a bit
sure.
and make it a little more interesting.
Well, because it's Florida.
Yeah.
Nice. And so basically what you're looking at is that the predictions now are a little bit more off because the temperature magnitude has changed, and that's what this chart is showing. Am I getting this right?
Yep. And we can see here the baseline is actually January 2019 weather data, whereas the target is the rest of 2019 through October.
Oh, and that
makes
sense.
And I have these list of features. Yep. So after you figure out which features have caused drift, you can go dig into them more down below in the feature details. So I'm seeing my temperature here, and we have a list of four metrics right now: Wasserstein distance, mean, min, and max value. So I can see how this changes over time, and on the right-hand side, plot the distribution of the data against the baseline that was used. So if I click over here on the right, I'll see a bit of a bimodal distribution here of my target data set in red versus the baseline data set in blue. If I click over on the left, toward January, I'll see a much more closely aligned distribution of data.
I see. And so basically you're comparing the baseline with the target, and what we're seeing is that it was pretty accurate at the beginning of the year,
yep.
and then it got consistently worse as we got towards spring, summer, and then because the temperature went up.
Exactly. So in this situation, I'm a bit of a naive data scientist. I trained only on my January weather data, and it doesn't perform well throughout the year. Similarly, if I click on a categorical feature, I can see the histogram of that feature over time. This one I find interesting because I would expect Florida to only show up in the U.S., being
yeah.
a naive American.
Yeah.
But it turns out there's actually four different countries in this data. And while it seems like a simple mistake, this is something that can actually happen when you're doing your data pre-processing and making assumptions about your data that you want to check into. And that's actually why we see that bimodal distribution of temperature.
I see.
It's from Florida, the state, and then other countries.
That's really interesting. So how do you run this? Like, how do you get this to show up?
Yeah, so we have a UI as well as a Python SDK. It's pretty simple to run through the UI, and the SDK is roughly the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go through the UI very quickly. All you do is give it a name, choose a baseline data set. This can be any tabular data set that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Choose a target data set. This does have to have that time series trait that we discussed set. Pick a frequency for this to run, daily, weekly, or monthly, and then pick a list of features. This is important to turn off features like an index or a day or a year, or things that naturally drift over time.
Right.
However, if you make a mistake, you can actually backfill the metrics after you create the monitor.
Okay.
After those basic settings, you can set up a monitor, which is basically just setting up a pipeline for you in the background,
mm-hmm.
which will analyze that slice of a target data set against the baseline. You can enter in an email address to receive alerts, set your threshold, and then optionally do a backfill of metrics. This is useful if like a compute job fails or you update some the feature list and you want to backfill your metrics over time.
That's interesting. So like what kind of, like how does it backfill data? Like what is it that it's backfilling with?
Good question. So it's backfilling basically if you update any of these settings.
I see.
For instance, if I were to come in here on an existing monitor, and for some reason my country or region drifted a ton, but I know it doesn't matter to my model, I could turn that feature off and backfill my metrics without that feature.
Oh, I see. Okay, I see. So if you pick too many things, you can take things out.
Yeah, exactly. So actually, when I first ran this, I accidentally included this errant index column. Mm-hmm. The drift or the drift percentage immediately goes to 100%, and I have to go backfill with.
And that's because the index is always auto-incrementing.
It's like in the millions. And
that's awesome. And so now the experiment that it's running is basically like a time series analysis.
Yep.
About what's going on with your data, where it's changed, and then it's alerting us when there's a problem.
Yep, exactly.
Well, this is awesome. Well, where can people go to find out more about this, or how do they get started with it?
Yeah, they can go to our documentation at aka.ms/datadrift, or to the Azure Machine Learning Studio and get started in there.
Fantastic. Anything else you'd like to add to close?
No.
That's awesome. Well, I'm particularly really excited about this because it's really hard to know. Look, when you build these models, it's kind of like a little bit of witch doctoring going on. You know that there's these weights getting updated, but sometimes you don't know why things are changing. This is going to go a long way to help us understand what's going on with our data and further what's going on with our models. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Seth.
Thank you so much for watching. We're learning all about data drift inside of Azure Machine Learning. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.